Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Also, as a quick little housekeeping note, core leaders, make sure that you take your headshot photo after service with Brother Winsley for our website. The core leaders, make sure that you take your photo or headshot. And if you're a leader in the church, I think Sister Jacqueline Cameron, where is she? I want to take a headshot for you as well, because you're one of our altar worker leaders. And so we want to make sure that those are taken care of, because we want the world to know that it's not Pastor Lady Martin that's trying to navigate this ship forward, especially out of, you thought President Obama had his hair turned gray over the last 7 or 8 years of the recession. Imagine being a pastor over the last 7 or 8 years, and you're not trying to do no prosperity gospel, you're not trying to sleep around with people inside the congregation, you're trying to just preach the gospel, do what you need to do, keep your integrity, and still deal with people and their issues, whether they come or whether they go. That's a lot, y'all, whether you know it or not. Okay? So make sure that you stay appreciative and pray for your pastor, a particular pastor. Anytime I see a pastor say, pray for your pastor, 9 times out of 10, he needs prayer. So Brother Timothy T.R. Simpson, I wanted to salute you this morning, sir, for your ministry here in the Orlando area at Restart Church. There's many pastors that go through things, especially dealing with sheep, because, you know, some sheep are nice, but some sheep bite. Psalms chapter 23, verse 1 through 6. Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6. And it's in the NASB version. I really like that background. That's nice. Verse 1, and it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Y'all should have memorized it already. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, or beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Wow. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup, as a result, overflows. And I love verse 6, the promise that it contains in verse 6. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and loving kindness, the King James says mercy, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the people said, amen, amen. The title of this morning's message is, it's an old Baptist hymnal when I was growing up. It was entitled, Lead Me, Guide Me Along the Way. I remember the, lead me, guide me along the way, Lord, won't. I don't know the rest of the way, because I fell asleep at that time. But I remember the first part. And now that I've gotten older, some 22, no, more than that, some 25, 26 years later, I hear and I see this staring me at my face even today. Those verses of scripture, the ones that we just read this morning, speak profoundly to the hearts of the saints. It has life and power, direction. These verses give clarity on our relationship with God and gives us encouragement during the toughest of times. And some of the, it actually is some of the most well-known words in all of the Holy Writ. But the question is, why? Why so few verses? I mean, I know half of the people in Christendom and even in this room were tasked with memorizing these verses. But why are they so important? Aren't they meant for a funeral, an Easter play, or a good series of lines that will fit nicely into a scene for an assassin while shooting Agent X, Y, or Z? Just picture that in your mind. So many questions, but thank God that his word, with some due diligence to the text, can reveal the message that God wants us to know and wants to share with us. He does this through the experiences of King David. That's how these verses have been brought to light. That's how these verses actually come to life. It was King David speaking and experiencing these words after he vanquished foe after foe on the battlefield. That's the proper context. That's the picture. That's the mosaic that we want to look at through our screens of our minds. You see, David, while being the main character of the Psalms, watch this, people of God, is not the author of all the Psalms directly. Not at all. No, no, no. In most cases, it's an unknown scribe, you know, somebody that writes something down. An unknown scribe, or a, watch this, a roaming reporter, like the ones with CNN, and they get embedded in the person or in the place where they want to get the full essence of what is going on. That's what a scribe was back in ancient times. This particular scribe was embedded with David, the mighty man of valor, and this same scribe writes songs. Not just jotting things down. He actually writes a song, or he's composing music as he witnesses the man of God experience battle, experience taking down enemies. Saul took down his thousands, but David took down his 10,000s. That was what the scribe was writing down, and that's what the scribe was experiencing as he was penning these six verses. You see, this particular song recorded things about the king, his mindset, his humanity, David's racing thoughts, the filling of the spirit. He witnessed the fusing of David's hand in conjunction with the sword as he destroyed the enemies that were after the people of God. He saw all of that. Not only did he see those particular things, this same scribe and other psalmists witnessed the depths of David's personal failures and even the epitome of his master's public worship. He saw all of that. That's how it was recorded. So, to bring it on home, we all, in this particular congregation, as well as those that are watching online and even around the world, we all at some point in time can relate to David. We can relate to David, especially if we put our own lives on paper. Could you imagine what it would be like if you wrote down what happened to you this week on paper and put it behind a beat? Rappers do it all the time. Well, at least not the studio gangster, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Or, like many of us do today with social media, do you have somebody ghostwriting your life? It's not really about you, it's for you. It's for what you want people to think about you, not for really what's going on with you. So, and yet, while we can, on many levels, have empathy with David, and we love to say that, he was a flawed man, he got a lot going on in his life, but he was a mighty and wonderful conqueror, we need to understand, hear me clearly, that he is not the center of attention for this biblical melody. He's not the center of attention. It's actually God, through the person of Jesus Christ, as the symbolic illustration of a shepherd and our relationship with him as his sheep or those who know his voice. Lead me, guide me along the way. A particular young man sent me a message about 2 a.m. in the morning. I don't know why people think I'm up at all times of the night. Well, it's because I usually am. But a lot of times I'll see the message come through the inbox and I'll just look at it, but I won't respond until the next day because, you know, I like to sleep too. But what ended up happening was is that this particular young man sent me a particular graphic of a perceived contradiction or a perceived paradox as it relates to the Christian faith. And this young man has been doing this over the last 5 or 6 years with me. That's a lot of patience, isn't it? It's a lot. And so usually what I tell this particular young man is that you can't get saved through logical understanding or thinking or going through philosophy class. You can't, let's go a little bit deeper. You can't get saved just by hearing somebody say, and God said, and that's what you grew up with. That's tradition. That's religion. That's trying to approach God through your way, but not his way. See, we want styles to make us feel like we are saved. But a style can't save you. It is the gospel. I promise you, God won't sound like what we see in our pulpits across America. And so he was trying to intellectually ascend to God. And as a pastor, sometimes, even in my early years, I would fall into the trap of trying to provide an individual with evidence to the contrary. But now I just send a little bit of information. I say, you know, I could send you all of the information and evidence in the world, but until God opens up your eyes, you won't feel him. You're blind to the facts of the gospel. But my prayer is that God will penetrate your heart and open it up completely. I saw another video about this one particular gentleman that said, if you really thought about God in this particular way, you will never see him the same way again. If God was so loving, if God was so caring, why would he allow for specific things to happen in this particular way? Why do we allow for all the people to starve everywhere, all around the earth? But when you look around the earth, there's 7 billion people and everybody isn't starving. Everybody isn't going through tragedy. Everybody isn't down and in the dumps. There's actually people who are quite happy, even though they may not have all the riches as we American people might have. Some people are content with their way of life. Some people understand the veracity and the context of their relationship with God, and it's private to them. And so people seek to tear certain things down. So let me give you a nice little side commercial for all of my young people, old people, and everyone in between. Make sure that when you're on social media that you do not get caught up in the echo chamber. Be careful of the echo chamber, especially when it comes to things that you like or your particular proclivities, because there are certain things that the way that they have the system set up is that it will only feed you what you like to look at. It only feeds you what you like to look at. And if you get caught up in an echo chamber, you believe that everybody thinks the same way. So my advice to you is worship God and stay out of the comments. Worship God. I'm preaching, but you're looking at me. Worship God, but stay out of the comments. Everybody has an opinion, but most people don't know the truth. Lead me, guide me. That was a little bit of guidance from your earthly shepherd, myself included. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1 through 6 has a lot that's going on, but let's paint this the scriptures in a deeper context. Let's look at John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. And this is in the New Living Translation. And then I'm going to try to break it on down. Let's look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30 in the New Living Translation says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. What in the world does all of that mean? First of all, when you belong to God, even though you have a lot going on in your life, you can hear him. It doesn't matter your condition. It doesn't matter what you did last summer. It doesn't matter what you did last morning, yesterday, last night. If you got kvasi still in your breath, if you hear God, you know his voice. But the key is we don't always listen to him. We all struggle with this. We all have to deal with this, especially those of us that are leadership inside of ministry. Sometimes we believe that leadership is something that is glamorous, something that is lovely, something that is worth all those things. No, 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 baby. No, 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 sir. No, ma'am. No, no. If anything, when you go to the front lines, you get the most hits. And when you get a lot of hits, then you start wondering, what in the world is going on here? Maybe I'm not ready for the limelight. Do you want to be under all these lights? I often hear sometimes the praise team people say that it's hot up under these lights. It's hot up under these lights because the entire lens on your life is projected for all to see. Every flaw, every idiosyncrasy, every post that you like is on display. Do you want to be scrutinized at that particular level as a leader? Somebody told me, and I've said this to y'all many times before, that preaching is like standing on a stage full of lights with a handful of tickets and empty seats. Those tickets are tickets that no one wants to buy, but you still have to show up every single time, waiting for someone to come between those doors just to sit down and hear the word. My sheep listen to my voice. And see, when you know his voice, that means he also knows you too. Isn't that wonderful? God also says that he gives them eternal life and they will never perish. But the thing in verse 28, especially the latter part of verse 28, should be comforting to all of us, because when God saves you, it says that you can't be snatched out of the Father's hands. But what we fail to realize is that when we start having trouble in our life, we believe that God automatically is going to let you float from out of his grasp and into a burning hell without any recourse. But that's not how God operates. God holds on to you, and he massages you, and he works with you. He works with you very similar to like what you see on the screen where you see this particular staff. You see that? That's actually called a crozier. If you ever look at it, let me give you a little bit of truth. Whenever you see the word elder, elder is synonymous with pastor. Pastor is synonymous with bishop or bishopric. It's not a promotion, it's actually a demotion. Because the higher you go in God, the lower you have to think about yourself. And it's not a title, especially when it comes to being a bishop. It's not something that you toss around. That's why the scripture, if you ever want to see what the true bishop is, it's Jesus Christ. He is the bishop, as the book of Revelation states, of our souls. He guides us with the crozier or the shepherd's staff. And when he grabs you or he pulls you off of the stage of sin, he takes and he yanks you right where you need to be. There's a change that happens to your life, and no one can pull you back. So please, please don't mistake in the situations that you go through as synonymous with God not loving. It's not the same thing. Also, there's two words of note. You've heard it even into this morning's theme. The first word is sheep, and the other word is shepherd. The first word is sheep, and the other word is shepherd. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 gives us a description of what a shepherd is. Yes, we understand that a shepherd is one that tends after sheep in the natural, but in the spirit, Jeremiah lays it out for us, because we have individuals that are out there saying, you don't need to listen to that man telling you what's going on. Can't you read the word for yourself? Well, that's how you got in trouble. You cherry pick scriptures too to suit you. So you need to have someone to be able to speak the truth to you, or speak truth to the powers and principalities of spiritual wickedness in high places that are afflicting you without compromise. So Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 says, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. So if you only hear hollering, but you're not learning everything that you need to know about the scriptures, then maybe, just maybe, you're not listening to a shepherd. All right, I guess that went well. You also need to understand that the shepherd has to be after the heart of God. What is the heart of God? What is his heart made of? Jesus made himself of no reputation, if you want to see that. So it's not a person that tries to be on Front Street and tries to make a name for himself. It's not somebody who's trying to be popular or trying to win votes inside of a congregation. Please, oh please, I have no problem with anybody being a part of any type of political affiliation, but that does not have weight inside of the house of God. This is not a democracy. Matter of fact, the United States is not a democracy. It's actually a republic. But we've gotten into the mindset to where people vote for what they want the preacher or the teacher to say. But that's not how God wants it to be. And that goes for the preacher, too. That's why the preacher should not preach his own words. He should preach the word of God. So if you get upset with me, I'd rather say you get upset with the word. That's why we stick with the word. So let me break it down for you a little bit deeper. See, a sheep follows. That's you and I. But a shepherd leads. A sheep needs to be fed, but a shepherd has to feed. Some people believe that the only thing that I do is study for like 5 minutes, and then all this stuff comes out week after week after week. But anybody that's ever stood in my place for me, you know exactly how taxing it is to come up with something just one time, once or twice a year. Imagine twice a week. And then sometimes three times if other people ask you questions inside of your inbox. I think this is good for some of you all to hear, because oftentimes we think that this 1 hour space from 11, well, for those of you that come on time, from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, that is the only time that the preacher does anything and he shakes hands as people leave. But let's bring it deeper. Once again, a sheep needs to be fed, but a shepherd has to feed. You can tell how healthy a sheep is based on its diet. Oh, my Lord. So you can have all the people around you, but if they're not healthy, then you got a large sick flock spreading diseases and infections. They're all together. The place is packed, but no one's getting healed. So you can tell how healthy a sheep is based on its diet. You also can tell how skilled the shepherd is based on the menu they are able to prepare from. You ever get tired of eating the same thing? Chicken and beef, fricassee, chicken and beef, fricassee, y'all like. I don't even know where that comes from. Chicken and beef. Chicken and beef. Some of y'all eat chicken and beef every single week. Try being a vegetarian for a week. Or a month. Some of you are like, oh, the devil is a liar. But little do you know, some of the medicines that you're taking will probably be eliminated if you did change your diet. Is this thing on? Is everything right with this? Brother Sean, I don't know. You will see. But that's the truth of the matter. Likewise, if you understand it in the natural, the same thing goes when it comes to the house of the Lord. I can't tell you the same thing every single week and dress it up in histrionics and me sliding across first base, second base, and third base. I saw that on YouTube where a preacher went from first base, second base, third base, and then slid across the pulpit, and everybody was just hooping and hollering and laughing and all this other stuff. And I'm like, God, kill him. I'm talking about the preacher, not the people. The people, that's what they're being fed. And then for some of you, you come from an environment like that, and you expect for me to do the same thing. And I'm not going to do the same thing. I know me. I love me some me. And I am afraid of God. A holy fear. Now, I'm not scared like, oh, my God. No. I believe that God will eliminate me if I pervert his gospel. That's how deeply I love him. So you can tell how healthy a sheep is based on its diet. You can also tell the skillfulness of that particular shepherd based on the menu. Let's break it down even further. The menu, hear this, is the Bible. The word is the food. You got that? The building is the feeding station. You got that? And the world is the pasture. The wolves, watch this, are false teachers. Jesus said that there will be many false prophets and many false teachers. So if there are so many, how come we don't know any? Oh, Lord. You know who they are. Some of you have escaped. I escaped. We've escaped from some of those particular places, thanks be to God, but some of us still have bite marks of poison on the inside of us from the places that we came from. And so what we have to do as the people of God together, we have to detox from a lot of the poison that was poured into us from those false teachers. In other words, it's called the law of first truth. you assume that because you heard it for the first time and you heard it from wonderful HD definition of 5.1 surround sound speakers, then it must be true. But is it in the Word of God? It's not your truth. It's not my truth. It's the Word. And God is the source of all truth. So we understand the wolves are false teachers. Goats are false church people. Let me help you with this. If you ever start saying, these church folk get on my nerves, those are the goats. Church folk or goats are individuals who look like they love God on the outside, but on the inside they're filled with trash. And the reason why sometimes you get hurt by them is because they're acting out their true nature. You thought that when you come into here, everybody's supposed to be cool and everybody's supposed to be loving with one another, but you don't know what level that individual is on when they come into the house of the Lord. And you might have caught them on a bad day, and then you say, I'm not coming back because of those church folk. But sometimes you can act like a church folk too, because if you really follow the scripture, you're supposed to love your enemies. And you're supposed to have the ministry of reconciliation. That's why I always respect the individual that has been hurt to try to reconcile, and let's get down to the matter, because I believe that our relationship is much more valuable than just a few words that throw off everything. This is a ministry for some folk. Stop cutting everybody off so quickly. Because if you keep on going down that particular path, when you get old, no one will show up to your funeral. I'm just saying. All right, do what you want to. It's your thing. Sheep have a specific diet. Goats eat anything. Stay off of YouTube and watching all those videos where you don't understand the context behind it. One of the things that we got a chance to watch last night was Monsters University. Monsters University was a really cool movie. It's made by Pixar. It's part of the Disney franchise. And one of the cool things I liked about that movie was Sully. I can relate with them. And Sully was the first particular character. And Wazowski was the second character. That's the one with the big giant eye and has a nice little smile. Well, both of them had unique flaws in that Wazowski had all of this studying down, but he didn't have the natural gift to be able to scare. Sullivan had the natural gift to scare, but he never wanted to study. And then as the story began to go, Wazowski realized that the only way that he was going to pass is that he was going to have to do something in order to make up for what his flaws were. And Sully, he couldn't just wing on his natural talent. He figured out that he needed to study, but he needed someone to help him. And so both of them were able to graduate together because they worked with one another. They had a good specific diet once they got under the right tutelage. Sheep are stronger in groups. Goats eat and kick it alone. You ever seen those YouTube videos when the goats start hopping around and jump on one goat and hop and drop kick another goat? That's what they do. Sheep are criticized for who they follow. I'm preaching really good. Because it seems as if they don't have a mind of their own. You sheeple. You heard that before? You heard that term before from some of y'all? You sheeple. You just following that man in Castleberry. Can't you think for yourself? You're brainwashed. But the question is, what are you washing yourself from? This world? The cares of this world? You need to understand that. But according to Scripture, we are not to have our own minds as the sheep of God's creation. We are to have the mind of Christ. I hope you get this revelation. Therefore, we will never be without protection or direction. So hopefully you see the contrast. Look at the video once again and you'll be able to break this down. But let's go even deeper than this because I'm almost done. Psalms chapter 23, verse 1 through 6 in the NASB. These six verses of scriptures are so loaded. They're so loaded. Many of us have memorized them, but we don't understand the context behind them. An old teacher of mine used to say that memorization is the lowest level of learning. Synthesis is actually the highest level of learning. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's stop right there. The Lord is my shepherd is related to this one particular thing, and that means that God wants to have a relationship with you. A relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the first thing. The second part is, I shall not want. I shall not want represents supply and provision. Supply and provision. So when you read this verse of scripture, the Lord is my shepherd, that means that God wants to have a relationship with you. And it cannot be a one-way relationship. You ever been in a relationship with somebody where they do everything and you do nothing? Or you do everything and they don't do nothing, and you're like, I don't understand why. They just won't change. They just won't change. This is just exhausting. Think about God being patient with our crazy selves. The Lord is my shepherd. That denotes a relationship. I shall not want. Represents supply and provision. When you don't want, have a want for anything, that means that you're content. When you're discontented all of the time, and your mind is racing all the time, you can't be a millionaire tomorrow. You know why it's hard to become one? It's because you have to have character development first. There is no microwave to success. And God understands that. And so he wants you to know that if you are a Christian, he is your supply and he is your provision. Some people are wondering, how in the world did you make it after all the trials and tests and the financial struggle and strain of being in ministry? How did you make it? Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have a want. I may really want some different types of things. I think I may need some stuff, but it's God that supplies and provides. Some people looking for the formula to success. God isn't the formula to my success. But some people don't want that formula. Such is life. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, my goodness, this is so wonderful for all my busybodies. Please don't equate busyness with godliness. Just because you're racing around. Like they're doing back in the back right now. Walking in and out, in and out, in and out. Sit down and be still unless you got to go to the bathroom. Or unless you serve. But eventually you gotta eat. You ever tried to run and eat a sandwich at the same time? Anybody ever did that before? You jogging, and you got a big old giant Big Mac or a Whopper, or even if it's Ruth Chris steak, you take that and you try to eat, you'll kill yourself. So you can't get closer to God by being busy all the time. You have to sit down and allow for him to consume the word. But notice how the verse says, he makes me lie down. Some of you all are being made to lie down right now, but it's in the form of a sickness. Sometimes it's a form of a relationship that you can't get out of. Sometimes it's a form of a financial strain or financial stress because God wants to bring out a certain element of your character that's been buried deep within. And the only way that it will come out is until he puts you into a dark place. And in that dark place, you'll finally grow. You had too much stuff given to you. So making me lie down in green pastures represents resting in God. This represents the Sabbath. So please, oh please, the echo chamber, chamber, chamber. If you see somebody say that you particular pagans shouldn't be worshiping on Sunday, I like to always pose people questions like this. Where do you find Sunday in the Bible? Any day of the week. Look for it. Here's another point. What was the first day of creation and what was it called? I don't know either. So because we don't know, we assume that. I'm going to leave that one alone. Leave that alone. So you can't really pinpoint a day because truthfully, none of us know what day it is. The only thing that we know without a doubt is this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We came up with a system for organization, but the system did not predate God. God knows what the first day is. He created it, and he knows what it's called, too. All right. So we rest in God the Sabbath. He leads me beside quiet waters. That represents a time of refreshing. My wife and I get a chance to go out of town every now and then, and we were refreshed because we got a chance to lay back and allow for God to refill our batteries after pouring out so much to others. You ever, if any of you have ever counseled other people at any moment in time, you know that sometimes they can be exhausted. Put it this way, have you ever had a friend that you had to talk to a whole lot? And you had to talk to them over and over and over and over again, and they don't listen to nothing that you say? But you love them, but you keep on talking to them. Multiply that times however many the number of it is of you all, plus the individuals that are not here because they're doing something somewhere else, plus all the strangers that inbox me. It is exhausting, but I love every minute of it. God has graced me for that. So God says it's going to be a time of refreshing, so he leads me beside the still waters. He does not lead us behind or beside rushing waters. It's still waters. What's more calming, a peaceful pond or a river? The river may look good, but just think about it. What can a sheep drink from? Do you ever see a sheep by a riverside? No, because see, the reason why a sheep drinks from a pond, that means that the word of God is something that they can absorb in their own time and at their own pace. But if the river is rushing very fast, like the River Jordan, if that sheep gets in there, they'll be able to get a couple of sips because it's going so fast, they won't really be able to be satisfied. So what the sheep will automatically do is that they'll try to put their head in deeper into that river, and then their wool will soak up all of the water, making it heavy, and then all of a sudden what they think was a surface matter, they end up getting too deep and they drown themselves. That's what happens when you try to get into the Word of God too fast, too quick, and you try to graduate. No one ever graduates from the Word of God. He also restores my soul. This is where God says he wants to heal you from the inside out. This is what I believe for many of us takes the most time because God has to detox our mindset. Sometimes we believe what we bring into the house of God for each and every one of us is how we grew up and our environment. And then when we find out that for most of us, especially if we did not grow up in a household of faith, that a lot of the things that we believe and we bring into the house of the Lord are diametrically opposed to our value system. And then when you hear something contrary to your value system, then sometimes you take offense to that. And then the offense is misdirected to the one who's speaking it versus the message itself. Thus the term, don't kill the messenger. Absorb the message. The message is on this particular day is that God wants to lead you and guide you. Let's look at the next part of verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. In other words, God gives direction with grace. Direction with grace. Direction with grace basically means that God is trying to take you down this particular path or that particular path or straight ahead. And sometimes, watch this, how many of you know that sometimes, especially some of us men, we don't follow direction? We like to find things without a map. We want to do it our way. And when we do it our way, the entire car is lost. And everybody's mad at us, talking about, daddy, where are we supposed to be going? Charles, where are we supposed to be going? I don't need no map. This tree is the same tree that I swung from as a child. And if you take that particular tree, I'll know exactly where we are. It was here, but the tree is gone now, Charles. They tore it down with the new housing development. I don't want to use that GPS. It got radiation in it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it my own way. And then what ends up happening? The trip ends up becoming much longer. Or if you like Lady Martin and I, sometimes we get lost on purpose. I believe that one. We get lost on purpose. Maybe we don't want to come to this particular place at this moment in time. But the main point of that is that sometimes when God gives you direction, he knows that you're not going to listen. So what he does is that he gives you a second chance. He gives you a second chance. Tell the young men to turn off those flashes. Okay, they stop now. They see me looking at them. Sometimes God gives us a second chance to get in the right direction. This is what you would call in the GPS system, rerouting. If you have ever went to a particular destination, you take a detour because one of your kids got to pee, and you got to take that exit that has no on-ramp, and so now you got to go all the way around this small little city with all them strange people, like the hills have eyes. I'm just preaching. And then you have to go through all that place, and then it throws your route off. But then somehow, some way, the voice that comes from the thing that's guiding you says, rerouting. You turn here, and go back the way that you came. You missed something. That's what grace is. When you don't follow instructions, but God still helps you to get you to your destination anyway. You got that? I want you to hear the word. Then we have, for his name's sake. This is where you get your purpose from. For all my workers inside of Divine Truth Christian Center, when God wants your dreams and visions realized, I want you to realize that when you come to serve, you don't serve me. You serve God. You want to prevent burnout? You want to prevent yourself from being hurt by certain types of comments and criticisms that comes with serving the people of God? You have to serve on behalf of the Father above, not individuals themselves, or else you'll get the relationship convoluted, and you'll be coming there for a personality versus a purpose. You got that? That's why a lot of times people get kind of angry and kind of, you know, get kind of their underwear or panties in the bunch sometimes when it comes to dealing with individuals, because they're doing it for the wrong reason. How do you think that we lasted for 7 years? If I did it for some of the people that I came across in this life, and some of you know who they are, I wouldn't be preaching any longer. But I did it for the glory of God. That's what helps you last longer. Amen. Preacher, before you go out and start your own ministry, make sure that you're doing it for the right motive. Don't do it based off of something that is perverted, or it will not last. I don't care how anointed you are, it will not last, because that's not how God operates. So that's your purpose. In other words, who are you trying to please, God or man? When you come to church and you do particular things, pay attention to me, dog. When you do things according to the word of God, who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for me? Are you doing it for Lady Martin? Or are you doing it because God wants it to be that way? I'll give you a small little example. Sometimes we have people from the pastoral care bring us drinks and tea and things like that in the front of the church. And sometimes if you do not have a godly mindset, you perceive that the wrong way. But it's actually scriptural. How? Well, I don't know if that's in the Bible. Well, do you realize that the congregation is supposed to take care of their pastor? And that you shouldn't muzzle the ox? Amen. And so if you're not supposed to muzzle the ox, and you're supposed to take care of the pastor because he's been feeding you every single week to make your life better, then why not give him a cup of water? It's something small, but something simple that shows that you care, because I care about you. But we've been accustomed to just doing things one way. We want to get everything, but we want to give as little as possible. But I can't allow for myself to be used. All right. I'm not giving you a whooping, but low-key I am. So don't try to please man, please God. And so when somebody does that, they're doing it to the glory of God, because God is pleased when you take care of the angel of the house that he is over. You see that? But some people miss that. Oh, that's just a flunky. They just trying to get in the inner circle. If you knew what this inner circle felt like, good God Almighty, you wouldn't want to be a part of this inner circle. My inner circle got fire in it. My inner circle make you feel some kind of way. My inner circle has demons visiting you on a weekly basis. Weekly basis. And you have to serve while you're weak. I had one of the most awful weeks this week, and I'm still preaching today because God is my strength. You see that? You see that? So if you want to get close to me, you have to learn how to serve even when you're not in the mood. Amen. Oh, that's the dividing line. Let me move right on along. All right. Verse 4, appropriate. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a shadow isn't the image, it's only a test. You got that? A shadow isn't the image, it's only a test. When David was going through this particular situation, all the bullets, all the darts, all the javelins were coming against him over and over and over again. But he says, I have nothing to fear. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, but at least I'm still moving. A valley eventually will have a hill. A valley will eventually have an exit. A valley will eventually end. A shadow is just is not the image in and of itself. It's only a test. Morning will come, even though it's midnight. Even though it's dark, eventually morning will come. That allows for you to have a positive mindset, a godly mindset, not a depressing mindset. When you're like, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even know what's going on. No, it's more than this thing. The next part is, I fear no evil. I'm breaking it down for you. This means that God will protect you with his heavenly and earthly angels. This will transform you into a fearless believer. Well, I don't want to serve because what will they think? I don't want to love God to this particular depth because of what they will think about me or what they will say about me. Many people are not serving the people of God because of criticism. And I'm talking about constructive criticism. The type of criticism that will help you improve versus you interpreting that as somebody trying to tear you down. Oh, Lord, that's all right. God will make you listen one day. So it says, I fear no evil. So he sends you heavenly angels and earthly angels. The earthly angels are for those people that need to have somebody in front of them that will be a good example. They're messengers, especially according to the word of God. The next part I like is the part that says, for you are with me. This lets you know that God is faithful. He's faithful and he's just. Well, if God would have been there when I went through this situation at 9 years old, how do I know that he's going to come now? Because ever since that particular event in my life, God has never said anything. Oh, he's been speaking the entire time. If it didn't kill you, is used to be a testimony for someone else. If it didn't kill you, it's supposed to make you stronger. There's a purpose behind everything. So that represents faithfulness. But then we also need to understand that God knows that there's nothing that could separate us from his love. That's what grace is. So for everybody that came into this building today feeling condemned, feeling guilty, wondering if pastor is going into his office and talking about you because you didn't show up the last couple of Sundays, I want you to know that that does not happen here. What I'm thinking about is my sub sandwich that Sister Dakara brings in to my desk so that I can eat. Once I pour it out, I am not going to pour into negativity. You hear that? You hear that? But if that's an environment that you came from, then you think that all the preachers are the same. So we got to get your mind right. Get your mind right so that you can be made to lie down and eat what you're supposed to eat. We got to change your diet. And this is the part that I love right here. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This means discipline. Oh my goodness. This is the thing that no one likes. Discipline. As parents, sometimes we don't discipline our children and they run us all the way up the wall. They don't respect you because you won't pop their butts. In the spirit. I said in the spirit because we got some people that work for the government. But you don't discipline them at all? God already knows the nature of mankind. He already knows that sometimes we take advantage of somebody that gives us everything. Amen. So sometimes God has to withhold certain things from you until you are obedient. That's how he works. Prove it, preacher. Well, let me look at it first. Well, you see how it says right there, even though I walk, go to the next verse tomorrow. All right, even though I walk through the valley of shadow, that we got that part. You prepared to, okay, hold on a second. Where are you at? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Go to that one. You saw what I did there? That's discipline. You got that? It's a correction that was made. So you see that part right there? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even if it was my mistake, I admit that. So what does that mean? Well, the rod represents correction or tough love. Sometimes I purposely do not answer an inbox because I want your source to be God and not myself. I know that people have a propensity to make us an idol. And that is a danger because sometimes if I don't do what you want, you'll leave because of me. Forget all the relationships that you built. You'll detach. And that people do this all the time. They'll unfriend me, but they'll keep all the friend requests for everybody they had a relationship inside the congregation. I see this all the time. And they're thinking that they're hurting me. You're not hurting me. You're showing your true colors. Because if it was for the body, then you stay connected to me, even if we disagree on something. No shade. It's just the truth. Trees don't throw shade. They provide shelter. All right, well, tough love. That's what the rod of correction is for. Then we also have the staff. The staff is for instruction. We have staff here at Divine Truth Christian Center. The staff is an extension of myself. They're here to help instruct and to guide the people of God. That staff is also represents a way to lift up now and ask questions later. You missed it. You see, when it comes to the rod of correction, the discipline, maybe you needed to be fired because God saw that you were greedy. Maybe God won't send you a man or a woman because they know that you got lust problems and you'll cheat on them after 2 weeks. Maybe, just maybe, you aren't allowed to serve because you still got private issues that could tear a congregation apart if they were revealed. So sometimes God withholds things from us for character development. For character development. My wife and I, we were talking the other day. I said, Lord, why do we still have to serve in some areas that we served in when we started 7 years ago? It has to be a purpose, for a purpose. It has to be for a reason. Is it character development? Is it about patience? Sometimes we don't know, but what we have learned is to let God have his way. And somehow, some way, he still allowed for it to work despite the odds. So if God corrects you, that means he loves you. If God allows for certain things to happen in your life, that means it's supposed to be to develop you, not to curse you and not to beat you down. Maybe you wouldn't take care of yourself until that thing jumped on you. And now you got to change everything about what's going on and consuming inside of your body so that he could have you live longer. Maybe you're the type of person that needs a crisis in order to wake up. You ever seen those people that say, I won't show up until something really, 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 really bad happens? Well, God is trying to teach you that you shouldn't have a relationship with him when things get really, 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 really bad. He wants you to have a relationship where things are good, too. Amen. And sometimes he'll teach you that particular lesson before you get married, because sometimes in marriage, things get really, 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 really bad. But you shouldn't get a divorce at the first sign of trouble. Most of the people who have wonderful marriages are those that have made it through the storm. Because the storms, watch this, reveal what house are sturdy or what houses are fragile. Let me keep on going. See, God doesn't always want to bring out the rod. If you ever notice inside of scripture, and I'm teaching here, if you ever notice inside of scripture, very rarely do you see God bring the rod out. You ever had one of those parents that beat you very, very, every report, oh Lord, I used to get in trouble so much. And most of it was my fault. But a lot of times we believe that God is the same way, that he's a punisher. He has the Punisher t-shirt on in heaven, and he's trying to punish everybody into submission. Well, if you grew up with a parent like that inside of your household, sometimes, especially a father, you view him the same way. But the rod actually happens inside of scripture very rarely. You see the staff more than you see the rod, so God would rather he correct you or instruct you on what to do versus always have to send correction and discipline you. I make sure I do that with my sons. I don't punish them for everything that they do because I don't want them to be obedient out of fear. I instruct them. Sometimes that instruction is hard, but I'd rather be a teacher and use the staff versus the rod of correction. The rod is only brought out when you are absolutely hard-headed and you don't listen. That's when the shepherd, in the natural means, takes that rod out and breaks the legs of the sheep because that sheep is very rebellious. And because that particular shepherd knows that the sheep can walk, not walk any longer, that shepherd picks up the sheep and holds that sheep close to his chest. Then, as the sheep heals, now the shepherd and that sheep have a close relationship with each other. That's oftentimes the reason why people, when they hit rock bottom, they get close to God. Because they have been broken. People, or God knows when you have been broken and when you've been nice but prideful. The next part it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Come on, Alan. See, with all the things that's going on with law enforcement today, I love this part right now. And don't play just yet. I just want you to be ready. It says this. Once again, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So let me give you this nice little monologue. You have been arrested by the love of Jesus Christ. You have the right to remain silent in the presence of your enemies. In other words, God said he'll work it out. Anything you do or say in my name, I will perform it. You have the right to an attorney. Pro bono. In other words, it's free. And that same attorney is Jesus Christ. And the fees that you owe for all of your life have been prepaid by him. You have the right to one phone call. Feels like I've been through this before. But that means that you need to call on Jesus. You are guilty. Those of you that are watching online, you are guilty. But in my court, you are presumed innocent and acquitted of all charges. Sir, ma'am, the enemy has nothing on you. You are free to go. That is the table that has been presented before all of your enemies. I hope you get that. I'm teaching this morning. And then the part says, you have anointed my head with oil. Go ahead, Al. This is a time of consecration. You see, the oil is not for everybody. Very rarely do you see me bring this out except for key times and for the people that God tells me to put it upon. It's used to break yokes. There's no magic in it. That's not what it is. This is not something where we're looking at a particular, this is not an indulgence where you take this oil and if you put it on both of your cheeks, then everything is going to go crazy. No. It's just a point of contact according to Scripture. But we need to understand that God sometimes will separate us on purpose. So the oil isn't for everybody. Your anointing is God separating you from the thoughts and cares of this world. When you got to cut some people off and cut some folks off, it can get kind of rough, can't it? Especially if that friend introduced you to a sin that you love. I remember that the other day, I was filling out an application for a particular volunteer position and said, when was the last time, the first time you smoked weed and the last time you smoked weed? But luckily for me, it's been over 17 years ago. That was my bachelor party. My bachelor party was me and my frat brother sitting around and smoking until we couldn't even see no more. It was either that or going to the strip club. I said, I couldn't go to the strip club because I'm not into anything like that. I said, okay, well, let's watch the Knicks get beat. That's chief. But at that moment in time, I was wondering, you know, why am I even doing this? And so when I got married, I had to cut a lot of those things that I did all through college off. And you know what ended up happening? A lot of the people, because I did that, cut me off too. And so when you do things for God, it's a lonely road. Oh my goodness, I didn't think that it was going to be like this. You trying to do it the right way? And the thing about it is that, especially as a pastor, when you do things, The funny thing of it is that the crooked preachers have full churches. But when you try to preach the word of God, it thins everybody out. You mean hell is hot and you're going unless you get right with God? You mean that you're not going to sin and try to serve at the same time? As a leader? No, I can't go there. But the menu is still good. And the food will make you healthy. It's a little expensive now. This is not McDonald's. It's like Chamberlain's. Chamberlain's has all of the great food in there, but it's high price. But it'll help you live a long time, so it's worth the investment. All right. And then last but not least, my cup overflows. This is when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. In context, this verse means that after David won, or after a victory is won, David and his men had their fill of strong drink, which amplifies the celebration of a hard-fought victory. See, when we saw that particular verse, my cup running over, we thought that it was just the anointing only. No, David and them got drunk after a victory. And sometimes you want to just let loose and celebrate. But in the spirit, it's when the Holy Spirit fills you up. Have you ever gone or gotten past a major victory and then felt the Spirit of God just overwhelm you tremendously? That's what you call the cup running over moment. These men are not drunk as it were seen. No. These people have been filled by the Holy Spirit, for they have vanquished the enemy. You see, the part that I love about this is that when you fight in accordance to the word of God, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers of principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So when you fight, you get a refill. When you fight in the house of God against the evilness of this world, God will refill you. But when you fight out there in the world, you always feel empty. That's why you got to go out there again to get pumped up again. Because it will never satisfy you. Never satisfy you. Every battle, every scar, every critic, every hater is one more gallon in the tank so you can get to where God wants you to be. I said something right there. Repeating, every battle, every scar, every critic, I'm talking about those of you that are trying to do right. Every hater is one more gallon in the tank so that you can get to where God wants you to be. And then finally, surely goodness and mercy or loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. That means that you will have a blessed life. But the way that you have a blessed life, you want the secret to our relationship? You want the secret? For those of you that have gotten close to me and kind of seen what has been going on in my private life, where I live at, what I have, the secret is faith and obedience. It's not a five-step program that you could buy out of a book for $19.95. No. We're blessed because of doing things the hard way, which is God's way. But the hard way, which is God's way, will become the easy way because it's God that is making the way. He's the one who makes a way out of no way. And then finally, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord is the secret place of security. And forever means eternity. So as I conclude, the psalm said, lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day. Boom, boom. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. So I pray that this morning you get some direction in your life and you know where that direction and that help comes from. Don't let this world make you think that being a sheep and belonging to God is something of an insult and that you don't have a mind of your own and that you're not intelligent. Some of the most intelligent, brilliant people in this world are those that follow Jesus Christ. So it has nothing to do with you being a dumb person that's following the man and you can't think for yourself. No, it's not about that. Because if you're in a good place, the word comes from God and that's what you're eating. And so when you consume the word, you have the mind of Christ. And Christ, unlike your pastor, unlike some leaders, is the only one that is the perfect example for you to follow. You got that? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for these, your people who have been so attentive this morning, even though it's a little bit warm in this particular place. Lord God, I thank you for their patience. I thank you, Lord God, for their love. And I thank you, Lord God, for those that have been with us throughout all the changes and circumstances of this ministry, Lord God, in our seventh year. I honor you. I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you that are watching online, you are dismissed. You can now turn it to soccer, because that's the only thing that's on in summertime. Be blessed, people of God. Can all the ladies please go inside of the conference room really quickly? Really quickly? Just really, really quickly.